Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam International and welcome to the special Ramadan edition of the Household Express. I am Sister Mara and delighted to be in your company up to 11 a.m. Well, here's what you can look forward to in today's program. We're actually going to commence with the health segment and discussing healthy eating during the day of Eid, yes, with Sister Zaira. Thereafter, we actually have a special Eid recipe segment. And my very special guest in the studio is Aunty Maryam Valley, who is also the author of The Pride of Indian Cooking. Assalamu alaikum, Aunty Maryam. How are you?
Wa alaikum salam. Well, not too well. I've got the flu very badly, but inshallah, I think we'll do quite okay.
Yes, inshallah. I'm actually honored to have Aunty Maryam back in the studio with me. And may Allah grant a complete shifa. I know she's got a bad flu. But nevertheless, let's actually cross over to Komajipur with Sister Zaira. Assalamu alaikum, Zaira. How are you?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. How are you, Sister Mara?
Alhamdulillah, and you, Zaira. How are you keeping?
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum to Aunty Maryam and to all the listeners of Radio Islam.
Well, Eid is a time when families come together to celebrate this occasion. It's time to eat, and many of us go all out to make it a splendid day with treats. All sorts of different foods are eaten, depending on which part of the world you are in. It's a time for families to get together too, and a time to prepare the best food. Very often the food is spicy, and sweet things are also a great favorite. Children look forward to this time because this is when presents are given and they don their best clothes. Food is an important part of any kind of celebration. Today we are discussing a healthy Eid with Sister Zaira.
Gee, after a month of fasting, people have to return to their pre-Ramadan eating schedule or normal eating habits. So this may lead to heartburn or indigestion in the beginning, as it takes time for the body to adjust to any sudden change in eating habits, just like in the beginning of Ramadan. So for this reason, it's important to start with meals which are not too hard on the digestive system.
I agree. Now, Zaira, what is a good time to eat on the day of Eid?
We look at Hadith to know that part of the etiquette is not to go out to pray on Eid al-Fitr until one has eaten some dates. This is for Eid al-Fitr because of the Hadith narrated by al-Bukhari from Sayyidina Anas bin Malik anhu, who said that the Messenger of Allah ﷺ is to not go out on the morning of Eid al-Fitr until he had eaten some dates, of which he would eat an odd number. It is mustahab to eat before going out to emphasize the fact that it is forbidden to fast on that day and to demonstrate that the fast has now ended. Mm. And Ibn Hajar rahmatullah alayhi suggested that the reason for that was to ward off the possibility of adding to the fast and to hasten to obey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whoever does not have any dates on Eid morning may break your fast, may have anything to eat. It's permissible to eat anything.
Okay. Now, how do we focus after a fast to a healthier Eid?
Once you decide how to eat after a fast, there's a few do's and don'ts that you should keep in mind. Whether your end goal is to lose weight or become healthier, you should have a clear plan along with the defined rules like you did while you were trying to eat healthy in Ramadan. Define rules of what are forbidden, which will only affect your health negatively. And once you have, for example, cool drinks, sweets, pasteurized dairy, sugars, breads on your to avoid list, then you stick with it. In choosing not to eat or drink anything on that list enables you to set the pace for how you intend eating, develop new eating habits, and let go of the old habits.
Mm-hmm. So what food should we actually avoid on Eid day?
We know that on Eid day, many people suffer with a headache or stomach ache later on. So meals with a high content of unhealthy fat and sugar often causes digestive problems. As these meals take longer to digest, they remain in the stomach for a long period of time, and they cause gastric upsets, indigestion, flatulence, and heartburn. When getting back to normal eating habits, choose healthy cooking options and ingredients. We can still have our roast leg with vegetables and salad, still have our biryani, but the method we cook it should not be from a toxic source of oils and spices, and we should ensure that we are using good, healthy products. Also, we should eat small, frequent meals. Eating large, heavy meals at one go can create gastric problems. The larger the meal, the longer it takes for the stomach to digest it. unless you eat a good, hearty, healthy breakfast and an early supper. Although, I don't see this happening on eBay.
Yes.
So, consuming short and frequent meals makes it easier for the stomach to digest, and this also stimulates metabolism. We can opt for healthy cooking methods instead of frying foods. We can bake, fry, or grill. Include foods such as chicken tikka, roast chicken, baked fish, chicken with herbs, grilled chicken. Olive oil with hummus is also a superfood to include with our other dishes.
Mm-hmm. So no samosas on each day?
No samosas, no gulab jamuns, no laddu. You can choose, Sister Amara, a healthy body or inflaming the body. So that is now left to you. Eat foods your body requires, even though we love the wrong foods because they taste lekker, isn't it?
Mm.
When we eat toxic foods, it harms us somehow. Damaging foods are wheat. Gluten is linked to over 100 diseases. Then barley, rye, oats all have gluten, and the barley of today has changed, and unlike the times of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Pasteurized milk comes from a contaminated source, so we should try and obtain raw milk to make our Eid milk drink. Then sugar, artificial spices are toxic to us, so we should make an effort to avoid it as much as possible and look for wholesome foods.
Mm-hmm. What about sweet treats? Do you prepare any sweet treats, and what do you make, Zaira?
As for what I intend making, inshallah, I haven't yet decided, but I will be making some healthy treats. I must say my kids have been very good children with Ramadan. They didn't want savouries. Even we haven't been having the gluten-free cupcakes or the biscuits and things like that, but I will spoil them a bit for Eid. But it's got to be from the healthy perspective. And to the listeners, be cautious with your use of sugar. A good idea is to make sweet treats that contain healthy sugars like raw honey, dates. I use a lot of dates in making like desserts and things for sweetening, and organic jaggery powder. When it comes to sugar, it is a modern day plant. I haven't tried jerdo using brown basmati and jaggery, but I'm sure it can be done.
Mm.
And also, do not use unhealthy salt in any recipes. It can be substituted with pink Himalayan salt, herbs, spices such as turmeric, ginger, garlic, parsley, thyme, rosemary, coriander, pepper, chili powder, and lemon juice. These herbs and spices are rich in antioxidants, vitamins, minerals, healthy oils, and some also have antibacterial properties. And avoid all the MSG-laden spices.
She's
and
okay. Zena, what are some tips on healthy eating habits?
Okay, do not overeat. Listen to your body. Discover the amount of food that your body needs to live a vibrant, healthy life. The Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said, the human does not fill any vessel that is worse than his stomach. It is sufficient for the son of Adam alayhi salam to eat what will support his back. If this is not possible, then a third for food, a third for drink, and a third for air. This is mentioned in Tirmidhi. When a person overeats, the body reacts to the sudden nutrition overload with sleepiness and lethargy. This is commonly referred to as food coma. A person is sapped of any energy they had and only wish to sleep. So don't let this happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
When you only fill a third of your stomach, you will never experience food coma. You will actually retain, if not increase, your energy level without feeling or showing any signs of lethargy. Another benefit of not filling your stomach is proper digestion. When your stomach is not full, your stomach now has space to move the acids inside. When you overeat, however, the stomach has less space to work and you get problems like acid reflux, constipation, and digestion problems. We need to eat slowly, chew our food well, as the saliva has enzymes that assist in digestion. Then juicing. Juice is a nourishment to the body. People in other cultures who live a healthy lifestyle, they do fasting of some sort or the other, and they include juice in their daily routine for the rest of their lives. So have a fresh juice 30 minutes or so before a meal, not the ready-made box bottle juices.
Mm-hmm.
Work at making healthy food appealing. Fruits taste great without preparation, but having them sliced into a fancy bowl or platter, sprinkled with chopped dates, chia seeds, sliced nuts, and chilled in the refrigerator will maintain your enthusiasm for eating healthy. And for a guide, you will find plenty of visuals in the Savory Journey Express. Then discern the difference between cravings and hunger. Never feed your emotions by eating from stress, depression, or boredom. You will feel less satisfied with smaller amounts of food, and you will feel sluggish and tired when overeating. rich foods full of unhealthy fat, salt, and processed sugars will cause nausea, headaches, and weakness. A handful of fruit will be thoroughly satisfying because the digestive system has to work less, and there will be boundless energy to spare. Have an exit activity for after eating. It will be easier to move away from the table. The longer you stay around the eat goodies, the more you will nibble and eat. Which is just not necessary for your body. Don't put a strain on your digestive system. Fasting is a wonderful new beginning, a foundation for a lifelong healthy diet. So eat, but eat moderately, because moderation is what the sunnah is all about. Think of the poor and the suffering people. Make sugar for what we have and don't waste and don't be extravagant.
Absolutely correct, yes. Zaira, before we leave you, your eat message to the listeners and to your family out there?
It's just that have a great Eid and a spiritually powerful few days of this Mubarak month of Ramadan. Make dua for the Ummati Muslimah. Allah Ta'ala forgive us and accept the little we have done. And taqabbal Allah minna wa minkum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah, Zaira. And Zaira, jazakallah for availing your precious time during this blessed month of Ramadan by sharing your wealth of health information and educating us on many of the health tips and advices. And we say jazakallah khair to you as well. And you have a lovely Eid, Zaira. Inshallah, we'll check to you in a few weeks' time again. You have a lovely Eid.
Jazakallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Well, let's go for a short break. When we come back, our cooking segment and an Eid recipe special, and you can look forward to a chicken biryani recipe and also an exotic biryani recipe and also a T-bone steak recipe. And my guest in the studio is Auntie Miriam Valley, and she's the author of The Pride of Indian Cooking. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the cooking segment, and it's a very special Eid recipe segment. And my guest in the studio today is Auntie Miriam Valley, and she's also the author of the recipe book called The Pride of Indian Cooking. Assalamu alaikum, Auntie Miriam. How are you?
Wa alaikum assalam. Not too well, unfortunately. I have a very bad bout of flu. But inshallah, I think we'll do okay.
Yeah, I know the flu is such a bad flu going around. But Allah grant you and all the ill complete shifa. Well, Auntie Miriam, we're going to actually commence with a steak recipe. And I think you've got a very divine steak recipe that you want to share with us. Thereafter, we go on to a chicken biryani recipe and also an exotic chicken biryani recipe. So I hope you have your pens and papers ready to jot down those lovely recipes by Auntie Miriam. Let's commence with the steak recipe, Auntie Miriam.
Yes, before I go, I would like to wish all of the community a very happy Ramzan and a blessed Eid. Thank you. We are going to do the Eid treat. This is called the steak recipe. It's a very special recipe, Amara, because I normally prepare it for a lot of weddings.
Okay.
And I thought that I would share it with the community this the first Eid, because they will thoroughly enjoy this particular recipe. What you would require is 1 kilogram of mini T-bone steak or plain steak of your choice. Excuse me. Ingredients to marinate: 1 medium onion, a dessert spoon of coarse salt or as required, a dessert spoon fine dhania, 1 dessert spoon aromat, 1 teaspoon crushed garlic, 1 teaspoon black pepper, 1 teaspoon white pepper, 2 teaspoons crushed green chilies. You can use more chilies if you feel you'd like a stronger flavor.
Okay.
3 dessert spoons melted butter, 2 dessert spoons mayonnaise. You can use the oil-free or fat-free mayonnaise, those that are conscious of their diet.
Mm-hmm.
1/4 cup white vinegar. Be very careful. If you don't like it sour, you can use less vinegar.
Okay.
But if you like it the soury taste, then you can use 1/4 cup
vinegar. Okay.
I'm just going to repeat the ingredients again. 1 kilogram of mini T-bone steak or plain steak of your choice. 1 medium onion,
1 dessert spoon coarse salt as required. You can add less or more. 1 dessert spoon fine dhana. 1 dessert spoon aromat. 1 teaspoon crushed garlic. 1 teaspoon black pepper. 1 teaspoon white pepper. 2 teaspoons crushed green chilies or more if you want a stronger flavor. 2 dessert spoons melted butter. 2 dessert spoons mayonnaise. 1/4 cup white vinegar. Less if you want a sour, less soury taste.
Okay.
The method is as follows. Add all 3 ingredients to a food processor and liquidize. Marinate the steak for a good few hours or overnight. Preferably, it's better to marinate it overnight because
yes.
The masala ingredients will soak into the steak.
Okay.
And it'll give you a better flavor.
Mm-hmm.
To cook steak, use a flat-based pot.
Okay.
And be very careful when you place the steaks into the pot, they must be flattened out, otherwise they'll curl up.
They curl up.
Add a few curry leaves, green chilies to a pot. Add 2 dessert spoons, ghee or oil. You can use oil, ghee, and if you feel that you want to use olive oil or canola oil,
that's fine. Okay.
Allow ghee to sizzle. Add the steak and cook until tender. The steak has to be cooked on medium heat.
Okay.
If you have a pressure cooker,
mm-hmm.
of course you can use the pressure cooker.
Mm-hmm.
I think the pressure cooker gives you the amount of time that a steak requires to cook.
Right. If you're using the electric pressure cooker
I use the electric pressure cooker.
Mm-hmm.
And I normally takes me about 35 minutes to cook the steak. It goes very fast.
Okay.
But you have to be very careful
yeah.
how you use it. You have to place a little bit of water in it.
Okay.
But I think the instructions are on the book.
Okay.
Braise well. If you're using the pressure cooker, then mm-hmm. you'll have to remove the steak from the pressure cooker and then put it back into the pot.
Into
a flat-based pot. And then you have to braise it
okay.
until it is dry, but it must remain moist.
Okay.
It mustn't be completely dry.
Okay.
Once that has been completed, you are going to now make the sauce that will go over it.
Mm-hmm.
1 tin Nestle cream, well whipped. Now here again, you do get the fat-free Nestle cream.
Okay.
So if you are conscious of your diet, please use the fat-free.
Okay.
2 teaspoons Worcester sauce.
Okay.
2 dessert spoons soya sauce. 1 cup Steers brown sauce, that is the barbecue sauce.
Okay.
1 cup Steers brown barbecue sauce. 3 dessert spoons of garlic flakes. 1 packet Royco 3 cheese sauce mixed with water. There must be no lumps. Alternatively, liquidize all the ingredients but not the garlic. Not the garlic flakes. Allow the mixture to blend well on medium temperature. Lastly, add garlic flakes. Pour mixture over the steak and serve. You have to keep the steak warm, hot actually,
okay.
and the sauce warm
okay.
before you serve it.
Okay.
So as you take it out, you pour the sauce over the mixture and serve. And of course, this recipe can go with quite a number of side dishes, like the steak can be served with pasta, chips, spiced rice, or English veggies.
It's actually ideal for eating.
I think it's a beautiful recipe.
For like a lunch dish as well.
I think it's
lunch or supper.
Yeah, it goes, believe it or not, it's one of my favorite recipes.
Mm.
And
like I say, I use it quite a bit for weddings.
Okay.
When
okay.
I put the, and people simply love it.
Okay.
It's a special recipe.
Yes.
And but I thought I'd share.
I
it
love
with
the sauce. Chili. The sauce is this idea.
Yeah, and then the garlic flakes. Oh, you can add 2 teaspoons of crushed nuts as well if you want to. If you want it very exotic.
Okay.
So you can add 2 teaspoons of crushed nuts. I do that sometimes, occasionally.
Okay.
But as I say to you, that it's a very special recipe, and that garlic flakes over the steak, it brings out a beautiful flavor, and of course you can decorate it with parsley or mint or any of your desired
And you mean, can it be made with a fillet steak as well?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
But then you have to use less time to cook it.
And not in a pressure cooker.
And not in a pressure cooker. It's going to become
a little shred. Yes.
Little shred.
Yes, okay.
I think in case, it is on the website.
Yes, it's on the website.
But in the event, some people that might not have had the recipe, I've just asked Amara for a special favor.
Yes.
As I'm not too well, and besides that, I do have quite a number of contracts for E that I have to be busy with. So I will take in calls only from 6 to 7 this evening. Tomorrow evening.
Okay, so remember that we're going to give out your Miriam's number at the end of the program. So if you want to just call Auntie Miriam for any of your biryani questions or concerns or the steak or anything, you can call her on between 6 and 7 p.m. this evening and tomorrow evening, not during the day. Okay? Okay, Auntie Miriam, let's quickly go for a very short break. When we come back, we're going to go on to a chicken biryani recipe and also one of Auntie Miriam's exotic chicken biryani recipe. And then we're going to talk and tell you how to actually set your biryani, some hints and tips as well. So stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum. Well, welcome back, and it's the Eid recipe special. And before the break, we shared with you a lovely steak recipe by Sister Miriam Valley. And let's now go on to the chicken biryani recipe, Auntie Miriam. This is your speciality.
This is definitely my speciality. It's something that's very, very special. I think everybody loves to have a biryani on Eid's day. So I think let's go on to the recipe.
Okay.
You'll need 1 chicken, disjointed, 8 pieces.
Okay.
Of course, double your, if you're using 2 chickens, then you're going to use everything double.
Double, okay.
The masala ingredients is as follows. 2 level dessert spoons rough salt. If you don't want 2 level dessert spoons, you use it as you require.
Okay.
1.5 level dessert spoons red ginger garlic masala. 1/2 dessert spoon extra garlic.
Okay.
Now that makes the biryani very special.
Special.
That
okay.
extra garlic. 1.5 dessert spoons pure red chilies grounded. It must be pure, not the dyed chilies.
The fresh
one. The dyed chilies is going to turn your biryani into black.
Okay.
So it must be, I normally buy my chilies, and especially the ones that are grown in Rustenburg.
Rustenburg is the best, yes.
They are the best chilies.
Mm-hmm.
1 level teaspoon arad. 2 heap dessert spoons fine dana. Preferably the white dana. I don't like the roasted dana in my biryani because it makes the biryani black.
Okay.
So there are some of these things that you learn over the years as you prepare biryani.
Yes, okay.
As you prepare biryani. 1 heap dessert spoon whole jiru. Not grounded jiru. It must be whole jiru.
Yes.
1 very juicy lemon.
Okay.
Squeeze it out nicely and add it. 1/2 cup of oil and ghee mixed together.
Mm-hmm.
If you want only ghee, that's your choice.
Choice.
If you want only oil, that's also your choice. And of course, you can substitute fat-free products. There's no problem. 1/2 packet of saffron boiled in a little water.
Okay.
Now, it's very important. There's no biryani without saffron.
The taste is gone.
The taste is gone.
Yes.
I do know that many people use a bit of, what do they call the yellow powder? I think egg powder or something.
Egg yellow powder.
Egg yellow powder.
Yes.
But if you cannot afford it, there's no harm in it. You can use a quarter teaspoon of egg yellow powder and just add it to a little warm water, and of course you can use it, because a lot of people cannot afford saffron. It's gone very expensive.
Very expensive, yes. And then some people also use saffron essence.
Yes. But I think it's difficult to find it.
You do get it, yes.
Do you?
I did see it, yes.
Okay, the following you'll require, that is the ingredients for the masala.
All right.
Then you will require one large cup of sour milk,
okay,
a few blobs of butter, 3 dessert spoons tomato puree, or 1 large tomato liquidized. There are many people that like tomato puree,
yes,
because it brings out the color. I use quite a bit of the tomato puree, but if you don't like the tomato puree, then of course you can alternate it with a tomato.
Okay.
But the tomato must be very ripe and it must be soft.
Soft.
The method, mix all the ingredients together, allow the mixture to blend well for a few hours. Now, I'd rather do it overnight, because when you do it overnight, you'll find that all your jiru and your dana and your garlic, everything will combine together and go into the masala.
Okay.
So it is preferably better to prepare it overnight.
Overnight.
Mixture can, like I said, it can be made overnight. Now, for the biryani ingredients, you'll need 1.5 cups of boiled masoor. That means it's pre-boiled.
Okay.
Softly boiled, it's better to use the soft masoor because it won't give you cramps.
Okay.
And then while you are boiling the masoor, I forgot to mention this, while you are boiling the masoor, you can add 1/4 teaspoon of ying. That will prevent the gas.
The gas
from, it makes the mixture without the gas. 3 to 4 potatoes sliced in half and fried. Eggs are optional.
Okay.
1.5 cups of peas. 2 medium-sized cups of basmati rice. Not more than 2 medium, because unfortunately you'll have a lot of rice and less masala.
Masala, correct, yes.
You will, now those of you that are not very familiar with boiling the rice, you don't know how to boil the rice, or you're not sure what, if you're using a shoka rice, or if you're using Noor Jahan rice, which I use very often, and you will take, it'll take you, use the time, rapid boiling for 8 to 9 minutes.
Okay.
And immediate with salt, and immediately after that strain it out in cold water.
So 8 to 9 minutes.
Yes.
Okay.
And you can add 1 tablespoon of oil if you don't want the if you like your rice to be loose. So you can add 1 tablespoon of oil that will prevent it from sticking together. And 1/2 cup of crushed onion.
Right.
So that's now your biryani ingredients. 1.5 cups of boiled masoor, 3 to 4 potatoes sliced in half and fried, eggs optional, 1.5 cups of peas, 2 medium-sized basmati rice, rapid boiling between 8 to 9 minutes with salt and strain, and 1/2 cup of crushed fried onion.
Okay.
Now we proceed to the method. Leave 1 dessert spoon of masala mixture in a dish. You're going to use this to marinate, the rest you will use to marinate the chicken.
Chicken, okay.
Now, the reason why we're leaving the 1 dessert spoon of masala is to make a little masala rice. Because you normally spread the masala rice over the mixture, the chicken mixture, and that will give you a bit of the masala rice, and it makes the biryani very lovely.
Okay.
Steps for setting the biryani. Before that, to set the biryani, now you know some people don't seem to understand that it's very, very important to use the correct size pot.
Yes.
If you use a very large pot, I think we come to that just now, but if we use a very large pot, your biryani is going to go dry. If you're going to use a very small pot, your biryani is going to be crushed, it's going to remain waterish, and there's a lot of other things that can happen to it. So the right size pot is most important. Normally, I advise people to use a pot of approximately 65 to 70 centimeters in circumference. That means just take a tape measure and measure your pot. And that will be the perfect size pot, because you must remember, I've cooked biryani for the past 40 years. And I have the experience that the correct size of pot is most important.
Okay.
Steps for setting the biryani. Add a quarter cup of oil. Spread a handful of masoor over the oil. Add marinated chicken over the masoor. Now, I think we've missed out. Did we marinate?
No, it's right.
Is it correct?
Yes, it's
okay,
right.
Okay, all right. Add the marinated chicken over the masoor. Spread rest of the masoor and peas around the chicken mixture. Now, here again, some people don't like a lot of masoor.
Mm-hmm.
So if you feel that you want to use less masoor, that is your choice.
Yes. Okay.
Arrange the potatoes over the masoor to a level cup of boiled rice. Add the dessert spoon of masala that you left aside.
Okay.
Right? Mix masala with the rice.
Okay.
You can add a little bit of oil so that it doesn't stick together.
Okay.
To make it easier. Arrange masala rice over the potato. Over the potatoes. Add rest of the rice over the masala rice. Add blobs of butter over rice and sprinkle with a little saffron water.
Okay.
And that is the setting of the biryani.
Okay, lovely. So this is actually ideal, Auntie Mariam.
Yeah.
A very easy recipe, yes, but I think you need to...
But I think we've just... okay.
An ideal recipe. Auntie Mariam, from this one chicken, okay, how many people can eat from this biryani?
Normally, I would say that if you've... this now definitely depends on... Are you a big eater, a medium eater, or a small eater?
Mm-hmm.
It just depends on your personal appetite.
Okay.
I would say that it would feed about 6 to 7 people. Five to six people. If you're not sure about it, you estimate how many pieces of meat does your family member require.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think you would possibly add 1.5 chickens. One chicken,
okay.
And then the quantity will go as 1.5
chickens.
You'll have to work it out. Instead of 2 cups of yogurt, or actually 1 cup of yogurt, you're going to use 1.5 cups of yogurt.
Okay.
Your masalas will, you'll have that quantity, and I think you'll have to work it out mathematically.
Okay. And so then we don't have much time before we end off today's program. So can we go on to the exotic one?
Yeah, I'm going to quickly go on to the exotic one.
It's the exotic one.
This one is the exotic. Now, you'll do exactly everything the same as you have done in the biryani that I've given you the recipe.
Okay.
But this is what you're going to add to the biryani. You will omit the cup of sour milk. That means don't use a cup of sour milk. This is what you are going to use. Add the following to the masala mixture. Prepare this mixture separately. 2 cups of yogurt instead of sour milk. 1/2 cup Nestle cream. 2 dessert spoons sour cream. 1/4 cup crushed almonds with the skin. 1/4 cup cashew nuts crushed. 1/4 cup pecan nuts crushed. 2 dessert spoons coconut flakes. 1 dessert spoon til, that is sesame seeds. Extra saffron water. 1/2 cup ghee and oil mix. Few curry leaves. Whole green chilies. Method. In a large bowl, add yogurt, cream, sour milk and saffron water. Whip the mixture thoroughly. Add all the nuts, sesame seeds and coconut. That's now your mixture that's ready. Now the method. heat ghee, add curry leaves and green chilies. When mixture begins to sizzle, add to yogurt the mixture that you've prepared. Add the mixture to the biryani masala and follow biryani recipe. This is just optional. It is just a biryani with nuts. Now, I picked up this when I went to India, and I was in Kashmir. And when I tasted the biryani in Kashmir, I couldn't get the recipe, but when I went to Kashmir and I tasted the biryani on the houseboat, I noticed that they had the nuts in it. And then I decided to experiment with the recipe at home. So I tried it out, and believe it or not, I think it's really divine.
Divine, yes.
And you'll enjoy it.
Okay, I've got a special message for you, Auntie Mariam.
It is.
A special thanks to Auntie Mariam, who is not well, to still come in to share such wonderful recipes. May Allah bless her abundantly. Amen, amen.
Thank you. Can I just give one small message over quickly?
Yes, sure, Auntie Mariam, sure.
I would like to give a special message to two members of my family, Khadija Saluji and Hava Veli. They've both lost their loved ones during the month of Ramadan. But to all the other members, to all the community members who've lost a beloved one, may Allah grant your beloved ones genital fiddos and give you people lots of sabr.
Gee, amen, amen. Ajibram, Jazakallah for coming in such a wonderful program.
Unfortunately,
we couldn't share the other hints and tips in setting your biryani, but nevertheless, you can call Auntie Mariam tonight between 6 and 7, and then tomorrow evening also between 6 and 7, not during the day, only for that 1 hour. Ajibram, your contact details?
Yes. My phone number is 011-854-2125. I think it's best that you call me on my landline.
Yes.
If you find that I am busy, just hold on or leave a message.
Yes.
And then I'll try and call you back. In within that period from 6 to 7, I'll call you back. Or otherwise, if it's urgent, I might, if I have time in between my preparation for Eid contracts, then I'll give you a call.
Yes,
thank you so much.
Well, from me, Stamara, from me and my family to you and your family, you have a blessed Eid, and may Allah accept all the Ibadahs in the month of Ramadan, the last few days, yes. Remember me and my family in your du'as as well, and Eid Mubarak to one and all. And remember
and
your
you
Eid
too.
Mubarak message to your family.
My Eid Mubarak message to my family. Oh, I've got a wonderful family, two beautiful daughters-in-law who have been so supportive of me, and honestly, in the 20 years that they are married, I've never had a problem. Inshallah, I hope every other member of the family has the same. To the entire community, Muslim community throughout the world, may you have a blessed Eid, and to all those Muslim Ummah that are suffering in places like Gaza, please let us make a special dua for all of them.
Yes.
Jazakallah to the community, and thank you for having me, Amara.
Amin.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. Inshallah,
we'll
come up with a few other recipes during the course of the year.
Yes, why not?
And I'd really like to be here when I'm a little better.
Yeah, inshallah, grant you complete shifa.
Yeah.
Well, from me, Amara, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.